This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. First up, how can we keep cool during this heat wave? Or more specifically, how should we be rethinking our built environment because of the heat? Of course, I think we've all been feeling it quite a bit. But yesterday, temperatures rose up to 34 degrees Celsius in Selangor and Kuala Lumpur. And subsequently, actually, our story today comes by way of The Star, who interviewed a number of residents around Selangor and KL. And, you know, found that there was this struggle between switching on the air conditioning for comfort or saving on their electricity bill. And this dilemma also saw some choosing to work from public air conditioned premises as a cheaper alternative. And I think this is something that for many of us working from home, we will identify with, right? There is that push and pull between, okay, so if I switch on the air conditioning while I work, I'll be more comfortable, yes, but it's A, bad for the environment, and B, going to result in a higher electricity bill. So yeah, what more when there's an actual heat wave? So why exactly we're going through this, right? Mohamed Helmi Abdullah, DG of the Malaysian Met Department, said that the southwest monsoon is expected to begin actually this Saturday. It will last until mid-September. And during this period, winds are expected to blow consistently from the southwest with lower air humidity, stable atmospheric conditions, all of which can result in a lack of rainfall. And so the average daily temperature nationwide is going to likely be between 32 to 34 degrees. And this has some experts worried as well that it could lead to heat-related illnesses, including heat rash, heat exhaustion, heat stroke, things like that. And if we look at how people are coping, right? So per the article, different Malaysians were coping with it differently. One digital marketer said that the hot weather made him turn on the air conditioning at midday for about half an hour, and that he may consider heading back to the office or working from another air conditioned place like a cafe because that's going to be cheaper. Meanwhile, others are saying that they urge their housemates to get additional standing fans instead of using the air conditioning throughout the day. Someone else said that they decided to go to the university library. And for people who live in houses with others, right, whether it's family or housemates, there is also this collective effort of trying to see how it is that they can minimize air conditioning usage. So I think this just had us wondering, if we take air conditioning out of the equation, what is it that we can do to actually minimize or mitigate the temperature right now? But also more generally, right, if we look towards the future, what can or should we be doing or changing about the ways in which we build and design our homes and offices to actually accommodate the realities of these 34 degrees and how it is that we can live comfortably without necessarily resorting to air conditioning all the time? So that's what we're going to be discussing after this with Taufik Nazaruddin, founder of Design Framework. We'd like to hear from you though. How have you been coping with the heat? I mean, it's been crazy this last couple of weeks. Do you wish that our houses and offices were designed to meet this temperature challenge? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Balming frustrated minds. BFM 89.9.
It is 5:12. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and we're talking today about how our built environments might need to adjust because of the heat. This comes as there's been a heat wave recently. We're talking about temperatures of 34 degrees. I think everybody's really been feeling it. If you haven't, then that's fortunate. I know that it has been very, very hot in my home. Let us know, how have you been coping with the heat? Do you wish that our houses and offices were actually designed to meet these sorts of temperatures without resorting to air conditioning? Let us know by calling 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now to talk about this is Taufik Nazaruddin, founder of Design Framework, a multidisciplinary urban strategy practice aimed at resolving social issues in communities, buildings and cities via urban tech. Taufik, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Hi Lynn, I'm grateful to be here today. Speak to everyone. Thanks.
So to start us off, right, generally speaking, do you think that the way our houses and offices are designed in Malaysia have actually adapted to manage the heat and humidity we live in? Or are we still reliant on air conditioning to do that?
Okay. I think the first and foremost, in order for me to attend to that question, I have to sort of talk about climatic design, because we're talking about buildings, right? So if we talk about climatic design, there are a few things that we need to be aware of, because it depends on this like five main elements. The first one is in terms of the building, you know, who are the user that's intended for those buildings? Are they private, meaning are they going to be owned by a family? Or second, if it's a workplace, you know, would it be owned by maybe like a small company, small group of people, or maybe a large corporation? Secondly, in terms of activity, because certain activities require certain climatic environment to be conducive or optimum. So therefore, it's either if it's for residential or if it's generally for office, you know, retail, sometimes it's recreational, for example, a gym. Sometimes it could be like a university or sports facilities. Thirdly, to understand, climate also affects climatic design. So we are in a tropical country, but we'd be quite surprised that the weather somehow also varies a bit. You know, if you're more in the city area, it's probably going to be more heat gain, you know, because the city is more of like a heat sink or heat trap. So it traps the heat because everything's so built up. As opposed to if you're more in the suburbs or in the rural area, your climate tends to be a bit better because you have a lot of ventilation and a lot of trees and greens. You know, it sort of cuts down the heat gain that you get as opposed to having, you know, concrete and buildings around. Fourthly, in terms of building standards, you know, climatic design. So maybe this is a direct answer, is that a lot of the Malaysian buildings, they abide by building standard that do provide some sort of general adaptation towards general climatic effects. However, I think we need to understand today, we have moved so much ahead in terms of building sciences and understanding climatic design, that we understand that we can design based on the needs of the climatic, optimum climatic environment that we need, such as what I mentioned about activity and user. And also in terms of the culture or the lifestyle of the community today, you know, we are so specific, you know. You might actually, for some people in the past, you know, like they remember like a home is where they sort of live and they go to work. But today, you know, we stay at home, we work at home, and some of us, we have a small industry at home, right? Like we're sort of doing our creative thing. And that means that the climatic requirement might be quite different. So that really depends on, you know, that. And I think those people with that sort of like specific needs, you know, then they would require a much more sort of aware type of climatic design or climatic considerations to adapt to the different building use. And I think in terms of, just to let you know, there's also in terms of green labeling of buildings relating to climatic design. So there are a few out there in terms of GBI, which is the Green Building Index, is one of such label by Pertubuhan Arkitek Malaysia. And this provides like a guideline on how to get your building green rated. You know, so in a way, theoretically, if you get your building green rated, then it means that it is optimized towards, you know, climatic considerations. And so I think the main question here is that because we're in the equator, so generally we might not be able to sort of be less reliant on the AC, you know, for the reasons above. But however, due to the fact that we do have a tradition, the Malay Kampung House is actually the most climatic building that's, you know, designed for the climate. It's actually studied in a lot of the climatic building sciences. And so there is hope, because if we do sort of employ a lifestyle and also work around that setting, then we might be able to sort of, you know, wean ourselves off air conditioning. But however, if we do work in corporate, you know, there might need to be some climatic considerations. Yes, Liv.
So we've been talking, and you actually mentioned quite a number of the ways in which our built environment actually contributes to these higher temperatures. But can we talk specifically about the concept of solar gain and how it affects ambient temperatures?
Okay, so if we talk about built solar gain, means the surface you have a building, and if when that building have direct exposure to the sun, right? So that it constitutes as the solar heats the surface of the building. So that in itself is how heat gain occurs. But however, the rate of which building gain more heat, it depends on the type of material and also certain passive design, passive planning consideration of the building. So in terms of planning, if the building sort of have a smaller face on the east and west axis of, you know, sun orientation, then it would generally have less exposure to direct sun radiation or radiation. But however, if the building is sort of, you know, the face, the facade or the face of the building faces, you know, sunrise or sunset, you know, that alignment, then it would actually get more heat gain from that. Secondly, in terms of building material, so if you look at certain most conventional building materials in this country, we're very big user of concrete, right? Reinforced concrete. And we also use brickwork a lot in our lower rise buildings. And also traditionally, we've used timber. So understanding this value that materials like timber have the most resilience when it comes to storing heat, as opposed to concrete, which has the highest ability to absorb more heat. So what happens is, if you have three buildings with this three material facing the evening sun, the timber building is probably the one that's going to be cooler at night, you know, so it won't stay hot later into the early evening. But for example, I have in my uni days live in a, you know, low cost apartment that's made out of reinforced concrete. The entire building feels like you're baking in it, you know, so it actually stores the heat, you know, it becomes the heat battery. And this is actually a type of, in other parts of the region, they call this thermal mass building. So, for example, in a colder region, they like to store heat. So I think for us, like the concept of solar heat gain, the lesson from that is we use material that basically stores lesser heat so that we feel cooler in the building. Yes, Lynn.
So considering we're seeing people complain about dealing with higher temperatures at the moment, are there measures that we can take to actually try to lower temperatures at home and maximize airflow, for instance?
So, this is what we call climatic experience, meaning you, the user, you know, let's say either you're at home or in a workplace, what is your climatic experience of your climate level of comfort? So the most direct enemy is actually exposure to the sun. But however, for someone like me, you know, I love the morning sun, right? But of course, I do realize if I put my desk next to the window facing the sun, I will be able to sit there like from 9 a.m., maybe all the way to 10 or 10:30, because after that, the sun becomes too harsh, you know, because when it's a bit higher in the horizon, it basically directly hits you. So a direct way is that if you generally are able to afford to basically inform the design, you know, of planning of the building, is to ensure that the orientation of the building is according to an optimum amount of lights, you know, and you know, like sometimes you do need like a bright room, and sometimes you don't want to have too many sunlight as well. It means that you can design your opening or your window to have louvers on the outside. So there are vertical and horizontal louvers that basically you can use to sort of cut the sun out, you know, after a certain time of the day. So the louvers that you see outside of the building, so generally the horizontal one, it can generally cut out the sunlight as soon as it reaches early to high noon and late noon, as opposed to the vertical one that basically just frames the amount of light that comes in directly into the window. Next, in terms of climatic experience, just before that. And also the reason why having external louvers and is better is because it basically stops the sun from basically having contact with the building. So these louvers, they basically act as a insulator on the outside of the building. Right. For the roof, for some building or and some condo, when you are at the roof level, usually there is a roof that basically cuts away the heat before it basically reaches the building structure. For houses, you can do the same. You do usually have a roof, and the roof needs to be quite raised, you know, quite a high ceiling, so that the heat with underneath the roof, you know, can have its own space where it heats the air, and that air can sort of be ventilated out using a ventilator. You know, basically you see one of those metal fan turbine that is on top of your roof. And also another way is that I think quite popular in Europe is having a green roof. But I think because we are also a country with a large rainfall, so it's best to have a pitch roof so that water can sort of be rid from the roof. The other things are things in terms of humidity. People don't realize if you feel humid, then when it gets hot, it gets really stuffy. But if you have good humidity, even when it is hot, you feel a bit more relief, you know, you don't feel too hot. So a good way is to ensure that your house have a good flow of air, meaning if you open only one opening, there will not be airflow. So you need to have an air intake and an air outtake. So usually, for example, for a condo, what you can do is your front door, if you have a grill, you can install like a blind as well and open the front door, and you can open your living area window to create sort of like a gentle breeze or draft. But however, this is quite different for certain heights of building where you cannot have operable facade, or if you're too high, the draft might be too strong. So this is something you have to adjust. Finally, in terms of temperature, because after you've done all that, it gets the hottest between 11 to 3 p.m. So one of the things is you can actually use an AC if you do need to use the space. But the other way is to also use like other parts of the home where you don't have to do the activity in those hot zone or hot spaces of your house. Yeah, I think that's generally some basic ways on how to deal with climate in buildings.
So in your experience, are more developers and homeowners actually interested in having this conversation in building spaces that will minimize the cost of air conditioning and deal with our actual climate?
Yeah, I think the important thing to understand here is that when we talk about developers and homeowners, they are part of this bigger community of within the built environment or construction. So what I'm saying is that it also includes from all the production cycle of a building, meaning from the feasibility aspect of planning the project and raising the capital, down to the planning and the designing. And then finally, the homeowner, yes, buying the building. But there is a larger life cycle of the building that also includes the building facilities management, you know, where you actually manage and adapt the building and live in it. And I think a lot of people don't realize that building have a life cycle of about 50 years and above. And that the design and construction is actually very small to that. Undoubtedly, of course, in terms of planning and design, that affects, the main optimum performance of buildings. So when we talk about who have interest in space that will minimize air conditioning, I think we owe it to the fact that I think as a whole community, we cannot ignore the need of affirmative climate change action, because relating to climate change that we are experiencing today, things such as La Nina, where we have also heat waves, we have droughts, and sometimes we have things relating to resiliency to disaster that we need to manage, such as haze and whatnot. So having said that, there is a sort of like a global and also like a local urgency of need to respond. So sometimes when we say interest, but it's more actually it's a need to adapt, because it's already knocking at our door. So when we experience haze annually, and we experience drought, we experience large heat wave spells, and sometimes it is coupled by extreme rain. So it means that users are much more, we as a collective community have a responsibility and also have an interest, and also through social media and our reading and news, we're better informed about how climate affects us. So that means it affects in terms of our climate experience. And I think surely it affects the household income in terms of how much we spend And I think because of how developers are also tied to the economy of the disposable income of the household owner, so they will want to sort of also be part of that comprehensive and united front towards designing for better climate resiliency. So that means, I think, when we talk about air conditioning in buildings, it really much is actually talking about using the right amount of energy efficient appliances. But it's also about about designing climate progressive buildings. But it's also about promoting a tropical climate appropriate lifestyle. So I think developers having and designers having a large hand at basically forming the large built environment space, that we live in, but also the user in terms of arranging a lifestyle that is much, much suitable to our climate adjustment. So I think sometimes if we look in the past where we have a lifestyle that's more homogenous, that we think that we are able to start on our PC or computer and start work from 8 a.m. and finish by 6 p.m. But how can we sort of address that in terms of with a changing and much more informed knowledge and understanding about how our season variance and climatic environment affects our spaces in our homes and how we would like to sort of, change our lifestyle according to that. So I think things like that are, much more important, and how like wellness and well-being is also very much related to the experiential of the climate experience. For example, if it's a hot day, you drink water, you bring your body temperature down. And that really helps, in terms of having this knowledge of how, your temperature also, affects how you experience the building climate. So, we're in a progressive era. I like to think that we're all interested and we play a role in our climatic experiences and climatic building designs.
Taufik, any final thoughts you'd like to leave with us?
Yeah, I think I would like to leave with this understanding of we can use technology in terms of data and knowledge. There are concepts such as smart buildings and operation and smart building management, and also smart community that can be considered by all of us. We have the technology of and readily available data on climates, and also user, because, smart buildings can sort of map, how your activity and patterns happen in building. And so I think making the right adjustment and also utilizing data and smart meter, smart appliances, it would help to sort of optimize and strike a balance between, energy efficient appliances and using that data insight, to sort of project, what's an optimum way to live in our spaces. And I think this is important to a few things. Number one is it basically can increase the knowledge and initiation towards building climatic design. I think that's always better for ecology and the planet. Secondly, it increases the longevity of the buildings that we have, because I think we want to be sustainable. So we want to know how we can adapt our building well. And thirdly, we want to have a good experience and state of well-being and the quality of living in terms of our health, comfort, and productivity. And finally, of course, we need to be more resilient as a community in the advance of climate change and the natural disasters. So, technology can play an important role on that. Yeah.
Taufik, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Taufik Nazaruddin, founder of Design Framework. Let us know, what are your thoughts? How have you been coping with the heat? Do you wish that our houses and offices were redesigned to meet this temperature challenge? This is what we've been talking about for the last half hour, how to cope with the heat wave, basically. Let us know. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.